Hey everyone, welcome back to the Agent Institute podcast and YouTube series here. And today we're joined by megastar in real estate, Kim Smiley Wiley with Exit Realty Strategies out in Ontario there. Kim, could you take it away and tell us a little bit about yourself, please? And actually, we'd love to hear the Smiley Wiley. Is that a hyphenated name or?
Yeah. So thanks for having me. It's actually a real estate story. My real name, legal name, was Kimberly Ann Wiley with two L's. And then I was nicknamed Smiley as a child. So when I got into real estate, everybody just started using Smiley Wiley. And it was like, perfect, great tagline. But then I guess with some success comes jealousy of people. And unfortunately, somebody in the same week reported to Rico and to Facebook that I was using this Smiley Wiley term and it wasn't legal. So they both shut me down in the same week. And I was, wow. So I just went and decided I'm going to make my name legal. So I went and changed it to Kim Smiley Wiley. I took out one L so it didn't look like Willie and made it all. So Kim Smiley Wiley was born that day and haven't looked back ever since because it's, yeah, and it's been wonderful. It's been really great.
You literally stuck it to them with that.
I did. That's I was crazy. Done. Like Facebook literally asked me for identification. I had to go and get everything all new. They totally shut my page down, everything, for the name Smiley.
How long did that take you to get back running?
Well, Rico had just said I can no longer use the name Smiley in my any of my advertising. So I take everything off until I got that done. And changing your name is no small feat. Just ask any woman who's done it just for getting married. So it probably took a good, I think, at least 4 months before everything finally got done. So with Rico, I just right away, I was still able to trade. That didn't stop. But with, yeah, Facebook totally said, no, your name is wrong. I think they shut me down for a good 4 months. It was awful.
4 months. That's crazy.
Yeah. And that was back when my page was kind of small. Now, no, there's, you know, a lot of followers on there now. It would devastate me. But back then it wasn't as big a deal, but that was like 15 years ago. So, yeah.
Could you tell us a bit more about kind of like your background in real estate and what led you to what you're doing now and what you are doing now?
Yeah. When I first decided to go into real estate, I didn't know how, you know, when you get into this career, you have no idea what's really going to be involved. And my background, I had a construction cleaning company at the time, and I had 12 or so employees working full-time around the clock, shift work going on. I had teams of girls out there cleaning builders' homes. And then I got into the commercial aspect with Home Depot and all the Starbucks and Tim Hortons. And we started, it was an amazing business. And I was only like, I started that when I was around 23 or so. And then by the time I had hit 30, I just was like, I don't know if I'm going to do this forever. And there's other things calling my name. And my father was a home builder. My brother's in construction. My husband at the time is in construction. So it was just this natural progression of why don't I look into real estate? So I thought, all right. So I started looking for a buyer for my cleaning company. And within 6 months, I had someone who purchased it for exactly what I was asking for it. And I was just too good to give that up. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. So while I was training her to take over, I had 52 contracts at the time, and I was training her. I just started getting into the real estate, taking the courses. And then as I was taking the courses, I got into something called Rookie Camp with another brokerage at the time. And they started teaching right away before I even got in, before I had my license. And so I was learning all about all the things about real estate ahead of time. So I had all this knowledge before I even had my license. And that really set me up for so much success at the beginning. It was incredible.
Right. And then now, your current position you're in?
Yeah. So now after After 20 years of being in the business, I am now the owner and broker of record of Exit Realty Strategies. And I actually just opened the brokerage December 1st of just 2023, just last year. So it's been a crazy 120 days of my life just now. It's been fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's probably a lot of work ahead of people.
Crazy opening a brokerage. It really is.
Yeah, people actually say all the time, like, I want to, you know, I'm getting into real estate and I already want to start a team or I want to open a brokerage. I'm like, I couldn't even, I don't think people could even think of that until they have a severe amount of experience dealing with situations and buyers and sellers and conflicts and all that. You have to go through all the grind. Like you said, 20 years, like, that's not a small drop in the bucket to have that much experience. Yeah. And then now setting yourself up in a position where people can come and sit with you and sit alongside you and grow their businesses and take from, you know, your knowledge base. It's an amazing feat. And I'm sure that you'll do very well attracting people.
I love to coach them and train them. So it's very, very rewarding on that aspect for me. But yeah, the amount of work of opening up a brokerage, you're right. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have no interest in it personally. I don't ever think it'd be on my radar. It's just that you have to be willing to grind that out. And that's a lot. Uh-huh. So you mentioned Rookie Camp, and I've seen something around that you're now hosting Rookie Camps.
I am. I just thought, you know, if I'm going to have my own brokerage, why don't I try and help people out the way I was helped? So it really just started. Like a little baby of an idea of how can I do this? And now it's turned into this amazing course. And I did the first course. It started 3 weeks ago. This is tomorrow night's the last one. So it's every Thursday night and it's 2 hours a night and it runs for 3 weeks. And they come in and we really get down to the basics. Like, they come out of our programs and you remember, even for me, I did not know how to open a lockbox. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do an open house. I didn't know how to show a house properly. There's a lot of things. So our schooling and education teaches the bare necessities of the law, what you can do, what you can't do, our rules and regulations. And then they trickle into how to do an offer and a lot of things. They trickle into it all and they give you just the right amount of information to be licensed. But as you know, there's no boots on the ground. There's no actual training of how this is all going to really work. Like, how do I get business? We've actually had people come out and they think that they're going to be getting a 9-to-5 job, making, you know, 100, 200, 300,000 right off the bat. Yep, no problem. Where are the houses? You're going to send me some houses to go list, right? And then I get paid. They have no clue. Even upon graduation, that it is a full 100% commission position. And that's sad that that is not put out to them. I don't, maybe they missed a few hours. I don't even know if it's in the curriculum, but it definitely should be.
Well, so Selling, now I'm doing it. Selling Sunset has done a good job of selling people on a dream, right?
Oh, so much. Yes.
Yeah, that one's tough. I often, you know, teaching people over here and struggling with like, expectation versus reality, and it's market dependent too. Like, these realities can shift from market to market. Like, certain markets you could get a listing and it could post it up and it could be multiple offers right away sold, but other markets, like challenging ones like the one I'm in, we've consistently always have like inventory on the market, you know, for the most time. So we've had to host showings for over 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. If you're not priced aggressively, you're just sitting there and you're taking calls from sellers. It's just like, you know, hammering on you for like, why isn't there sold? Why are there no showings and so on and so forth? But it's never anything that the clients do, like the condition, location, price, or availability of the home are never the issue. It's always us as the agent to, you know, we're doing something wrong. But, you know, as a newer agent, I even find that people on our team struggle first taking listings, transitioning from buyers to then going into listings, because there is that added pressure. And people say they'd rather work buyers. And I'm saying, no, you can't just work buyers, because you'll be run around forever and you'll eventually, you know, file out of the business just because of the amount of work that buyers demand. So you have to do a balance. And then there's that old saying about listing to last, right? And I still think that that's true. You have to list houses to last long term.
Well, there's one thing that you mentioned that I've learned over all of these years of being in this industry is the only time that a seller will complain that their house isn't selling is if the real estate agent isn't in touch with them and keeping them up to date on what's going on in the market. So if there are no showings with their house and their realtor is not calling them and not in touch with them, they start getting mad. They start feeling like no one's working for them. They start feeling alone. And that's a problem. If their real estate agent is on top of the market with them and sending them something at least every 2, 3, 4 days, you're constantly saying, hey, here's the newest article. Here's something you might want to read. Many times we don't communicate with our client and say, you know, I had 5 really great conversations about your house this week from agents that were calling because they have a potential buyer, but we don't tell them this because there was no showing. But just letting them know that there is interest, that, hey, I had a phone call today. I just wanted to let you know. Like, they deserve to know every single bit of communication that you get on their property. They deserve to know that. And that just keeps the communication going between you and them so that they actually know that you're working for them and that you are deserving of the commission that you're going to be getting. Because that's going to be a big paycheck one day. So you better work for it. So I find that a lot of people, it was the first 10 years of the business, I bet, I got the same thing. People were getting upset and this and that. And then I thought, communication. And the biggest thing is they want to feel like they matter. And if you ignore them because you have no information for them, they're going to feel like they don't matter. But there's always information you can give them. There's always a news article that you can send to them. There's always other comparable properties that have come on the market that you may not want to show them. You might not want to say, oh my gosh, the house around the corner just listed. They know. And they want to know that you know. So you had better be sending it to them, right? Like, there's so much stuff. And that communication is number one when it comes to our sellers, to our buyers, to our colleagues, to realtors that are coming into our office that need help. If there's an agent in my office that needs help, they need to know that you care about them and that they matter. Changes the whole entire landscape of your business when you do that.
100%. Yeah, that's a great tip. And that's not something I learned in the first 5, 7 years. I didn't learn that. I was doing what a lot of agents do is when they got a listing and it's not moving, I was kind of hiding. I just hope. Day something comes up that I can call them on with some good news, like, please, somebody come
for the good news because you don't want to share the bad news, which is the bad news is your house is listed too high, because that's the number one answer for every single house in this everywhere. If the house isn't selling, it's because it's too high. Sure, markets come and go, but if the house is priced right, it's gonna sell. I don't care what market it's in, it's gonna sell.
A couple of things that I started doing a little bit differently in relation to that is when I didn't, because like our market for a while there, like I didn't even have conversations like at all. Like I didn't have nothing to tell them about nothing. It wasn't like I was getting a call and they weren't showing it. Like it was nothing. So what I did do is I run, obviously, I'm being in the generation with all the social media ads and all that. I run all those ads and I'd space out the information. So your MLS system, ours is Paragon, gives us a lot of stats. So your home, your listing matches this many searches. It's had this many emails be sent out. It's had this many views on realtor.ca. So I'll split those up into 3 different touch points. And then on my Facebook ads and my Instagram ads, I'll screenshot and send them the insights from the ads manager, but on 2 different touch points. I'll be like, hey, I just got our insights back. People don't have any idea about how Facebook ads work. I'll just be like, hey, I just got our insights back, even though I can see them in real time. I just got our insights back on this listing here. Here's what we're seeing. Looks like getting a good amount of attention online. We're just having a little bit of waiting game here right now for the showings, or, you know, maybe it's the room that we didn't paint that we got feedback on from the last showing, or maybe it's the staging of the living room, that the couches need to be all turned 90 degrees to make this thing feel big and open, like whatever got the feedback was. And then I'd roll that on top of it. So that was a good touch point for me when I didn't have anything to talk about.
All those touch points, right? And I love that with the social media aspect of it and sending out just all their numbers and how much attention their house is getting is huge, because if all of a sudden you can start telling them, you know, 3 weeks ago when we listed, it was getting all this attention, but now it's kind of trickled off. It looks like, yeah, we might have to improve your price a little bit. Never use the word reduce your price. Always improve your price.
Price improvement. I love that one. And the market. It's always the market's fault. It's always the market's fault.
It's always the market's fault. Yeah. Market's fault or our fault. Never their house. And that's hard sometimes because not us. It's always the product. It's not us. So, it's a difficult one.
Yeah. No. The one thing I, because we use Sierra Interactive as one of our website providers. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one, but a lot of the different providers offer this type of thing. But you can go in the back end and just enter in your MLS ID number, and it spits out like a property-specific website. So it just looks just like it's just a website dedicated, URL dedicated for this property. It's not just like a listing landing page, nothing. That's another touch point that I use because we have the tech that we can leverage. I'll put it into there and be like, hey, we haven't got any traction over the last month. I've actually got my designer to put together a property-specific website for you. Here's the website. And then it's like, wow, you think this will work? And we're like, well, we're going to relaunch our ads. You know, we talked about our insights from the last set of ads. We're going to relaunch our ads at this specific website, and then I'll get you some updated numbers. So it's just like literally scraping to find touch points at anything I possibly can.
Yeah. We have a back office that gives every listing their own website as well. And we can watch all those metrics as well.
Yeah, exactly. So like anybody, I mean, a lot of people have different systems that have accessibility to that, but it's a good tip that they can use when something goes stale to try and just keep your sellers in at bay, because it's like the walls are closing in and the house isn't selling. So you try and get a little bit more space.
And it's hard. And you know, that's one thing that people don't realize when you come into this type of business. Because I don't like saying the word career, because a career is when you have a job and it's that's your career. You're a self-employed person here, and you are completely on your own. You're going to be the CEO. And a lot of people don't realize the headaches and the heartache that we go through in this, because there's so much of it that happens. And to deal with actual people and having people skills is something that a lot of people don't have when they come into this. And they're like, well, you know, people don't seem to resonate towards me. I can't seem to, you know, even just like going door knocking. They're so scared of it because they have no people skills. And that's the issue. Learning how to talk to people, learning how to talk to strangers is really important. You have to have those skills in this business, because if you don't, it's going to be hard, really hard.
Yeah, it's your own business. Your business for self, and you're a small business. Like, even if you join, you know, whatever brokerage you're joining, or if you're joining a team, different brokerages offer you different support levels, different team offer you different support levels. But at the end of the day, you're in business for self. And what is it, like 80-90% of businesses, small businesses, fail within the first 2 years? You add the realtor metric to that, and it's even more, right?
I would think it's a lot more. I don't know the numbers on that, but I know it would be a lot more.
For realtors, it's a lot more. That's just the general small business, 80-90% in the first 2 years for any small business. Yeah. And realtors are a lot more. But I find that realtors, like what we lack, and even myself, in my first year and a half, even 2 years, it was accountability. And I'm still learning about accountability and, you know, what I'm doing wrong every single day and how I could have done it better, or what my mindset shift should have been towards it. But like not matching, like we all expect this massive output, like you said. Someone's going to come in 9 to 5 making six figures. That's their expected output. But no one's putting in the work. Where's their input? And what is their input? They're not doing anything, a lot of people. And they're just like, oh, real estate was, meh, I didn't like it. It's too hard. I can make easier money.
I can tell you why that is.
Please.
We start school, age 4 and 5. And we're told to be at school 9 o'clock. Then we have a recess. Then we have lunch. Then we have another recess. Then we go home at 3 o'clock. Then we're scheduled with our parents from 3 o'clock until we go to bed around 7, 8 o'clock, depending how old you are, in elementary school. And then mm-hmm. you end up going to middle school, high school, and you're still there from 9 to 3, recess break. You're totally scheduled. You get home, you have dinner, you do your homework, you go out with your friends a little bit, and then you come home to bed and you get up in the morning and you rinse and repeat over and over. And then we go to college, university. We get a little bit more freedom. And when that happens, you start to see a lot of people go off the rails. They have no idea how to handle free time. None. Because they were never given it. In high school, they're allowed to leave the school and go out for lunch. And that is a hallelujah moment for them. They got freedom. But then they hit college, university, and they're a disaster. All of a sudden, they have all this freedom. They're skipping classes. Meanwhile, now you're paying for school, right? But now you're skipping it more and you're paying for it because you're not scheduled. And then you finish. Luckily, you graduate. The majority of them are getting by. They're just getting by. They're graduating, right? These get degrees. We all know it. Well, then they go and they come into the real working world and they get a job. They have to be at their job when it starts, whether they're a 9 to 5, whether they're a 5 to 9 in the morning, shift work, whatever it is, they're still scheduled. They're told when to be there, when their break is, when their lunch is, their next break, and when they get to go home. And they have to ask to go to the washroom, right? There's all these things that happen. They're scheduled. Then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off. Let's go into real estate. I want to be self-employed. I'm going to be my own boss. They get in. And now there's nobody telling them what to do and how to do it because now they're free. If they join a team, a strict team, they might get about 60% of that, but they're still going to be a mess because there's no substance to it. There's no planning to it. And that's why our industry has so much failure and people just leave. It's so quick. It's within 2 years, so many of them are gone. It's because they're not taught how to be an entrepreneur. And that is something that you have to either be brought up with it. Like my parents are both self-employed. My brother's self-employed now. We have it. We're born with it. Or you're taught it really, really well. Or you're self-taught and you get the books that you have to read and you're listening to the proper things constantly. You're putting the right information in. But if you're not doing any of that, this business is going to be hard for you because there's no one telling you when to get up in the morning and when to go to bed at night. Nothing. There's no self. You got to be self-regulated. Make 100%. Sense?
I say this all the time. I say this all the time. We're all so robotic. The whole world is just like, it's program robotics. Like,
yeah.
How do you think that people in like our position, like me as a team lead, you as a broker owner, how can we bridge that gap? How do we get people? Do you have any hunches? Anything you think we can do? Because I'm always grabbing at that one, trying to figure out how to move people to the next level.
Yeah. Well, we can't control people as much as we'd like to. And I think one of the biggest questions for us is going to have to be accountability. How much, like when we're sitting down and having someone join us and they want to come on board, we both want to run a tight ship, right? We both want a tight ship. And we want a tight ship because we want their success to be paramount. Because if they're going to join us, they're joining us because they think they're going to be more successful than where they were, right? Whether they were at a job before or whether they were at a different brokerage before. They're coming to us with a hope that there's a dream out there for them. So I think that question is going to be really locking in how accountable do you want me to hold you? Like, what do you want me to do? And sit down and actually have some sort of contract that says, you're going to do this and this and this, and actually give them a program that says in order to do, I do a business plan with people. We sit down, we do a business plan, and this is how much money you want to make. Well, this is how many deals you've got to do. And then it's scientifically broken down so that they can see exactly how many text messages, emails, phone calls, pop buys that they have to go see people. It's completely scientific. And if this is what you want to do and this is how much money you want to make, then you need to be doing this every day, and we're going to sit down and do this, and this is how we're going to do it. And I think the secret sauce is saying, you know, am I going to hold you accountable to that? And are you going to do it? And when we get back together 1 week from now, I want to see your schedule. I want to know exactly what you've done. And if you didn't, the question isn't going to be, why didn't you? It's mm-hmm. what does next week look like? And how are you going to catch up? Because I don't care about why. I don't care about reasons. I don't care about excuses. There are no excuses. And the only reason that it didn't get done is because you died. That's it. Get off your butt, get working, and get this game done. Like, your first week in, if they're not doing it the very first week, they're already off the rails. They're mm-hmm. already there. There's already a problem. And you got to catch them really quick and say, hey, you're already off the rails. You got to call them out. And don't be scared to call them out. Because honestly, when we're calling them out and I tell them, I'm calling you out through love, through caring for you, because I want the best for you. And 1 week ago, you told me that you wanted all of this stuff. Well, obviously you don't, or else you would have did this stuff. So what's going on? There's already 1 week. So I think the secret sauce is holding them accountable and catching them right away. And having us on top of them, is that can be hard because we have so many things we're doing. And sometimes you don't make that appointment. So maybe for us, it's like, we need to sit down and say, okay, you're going to do this. And in 1 week, we're going to get together and let's make that appointment right now. And we do it right then and there. And then they know that a week from now, they're sitting down with us. And then when they sit down with us, okay, we're going to do this again in 1 week. And we just sit down with them and we do it. And that way we're holding them accountable. But by holding them accountable, they're holding us accountable. Because sometimes it's on us, right? Sometimes we're not doing what we say we're going to do for them. We think we're doing so much because we're so busy running teams and running brokerages. We're so busy. Maybe we're not sitting down with our people enough. It can come back to us too.
Maybe not. I mean, the pending appointment of the next week might be enough to push people, because it's like they're still in that boss employer mindset sometimes, a lot of times, right? So they can look at us in that way sometimes. But what I hear you saying is that, you know, accountability, recognize and recommit at those meetings. They recognize the adjustment or recognize the input that's been put in and recommit to a new level of input and to setting the course straight where they want to go.
Yeah. We have to realize that they're coming from if they're brand new, okay, if they're brand new agent coming to us, they're actually coming to us looking at this as a job, as a 9-to-5 almost. Now, as much as it's not a 9-to-5, John, can you imagine if they treated it like a 9-to-5 and they came into work every single day at 9 a.m. and they showed up at the office and they were working in their database, and they were calling their people, and they were calling leads, and they were going out and visiting people, and they were texting and building up their database. If they did that just 3 hours a day, never mind 9-to-5, just 3 hours a day, we'd have top producers all over the place if they just did that. So if we treat them and tell them, this is exactly what you got to do, and we make them do it, you're in here at 9 o'clock. You know, I got five new agents coming on board in the next 6 months or so. And I got to do it. Like 9-to-5, you're here. Boom. And see what happens. And then if they have appointments at night, they're going to be thrilled. I went 9-to-9. Yay. You did half a day. Good for you. That's only half a day, buddy. In our world.
That'd be a lot for them. That'd be happy getting into that. A lot of people don't even put in quarter days, like you're saying, like three hours. That's it. If you did, like, you say if you did 3 hours a day, consistent hard work like that, you know, versus the entire rest of the MLS and all the other realtors in it, do you think at what percentile of effort do you think you'd be in roughly if you had to shoot a guess? Think you'd be in the top 10% of effort?
If they did 3 hours a day, they'd be a top producer. They'd be making 3 hours a day for 4 days a week, not even five, 4 days a week. They would be clearing six figures easy. Mm-hmm. I would probably say in their first year, they make 100 grand for sure, no matter what. And then from there, those 3 hours would become better 3 hours and more detailed 3 hours and more locked in, and they're going to learn and hone their craft. Sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. It'll just 3 hours a day is huge in this business. People don't understand how much time we think we work when we don't actually work. You know, sometimes you go home and you're like, oh, I put in a whole, I was at the office for 8 hours today. And yeah, but you really only worked an hour, buddy.
Yeah, sat there, socialized.
You were scrolling.
Yeah, exactly. I said that just recently too in a meeting. Like, there's a difference between being in the office and the difference between being effective in the office. Like, just being in the office isn't enough. Mm-hmm. We gotta hammer it out. And, you know, if they sat beside me, there wouldn't be, you know, any socializing or anything like that. It's hammer time. Let's get as many calls in as we possibly can, as many contacts in, whatever it is I want to send, as many texts as I possibly can. Just plant seeds. I got advice when I was getting into the business, and like one analogy that I hear in my head over and over and over again, almost weekly, if I can remember to think about it. But it's like, he told me that, not a realtor, but he told me, your business that you're going into is all about planting seeds. You plant as many possible seeds as you can, and you just keep watering the seeds, watering the seeds, watering the seeds. A lot of seeds are duds and they won't grow, but the ones that grow can grow small or they can grow big. You could get a whole tree. And that's like how, you know, I've talked about with my business partner, one contact has, we've tracked it so many times where one contact has turned into 10 plus transactions through referral, through they bought, they sold. Then the person who bought their house bought it with us, and then they sold their house. It's just like, and then 3 years later down the road, now they're calling us to upgrade and to buy and sell again. So it's just like all about planting seeds. That's one of the best analogies I ever heard in my whole life. It's about planting seeds.
When I was in rookie camp, the one thing they taught us was don't be a secret agent. Because so many people get into this business and they don't tell people that they're in real estate. And then their neighbor's house down the road lists, and then they're walking by and the neighbors are outside and they start talking, and he's kind of embarrassed because he's a realtor and they don't even know. And they're like, oh my gosh, if I had known, I would have listed with you. So when they started teaching us, get out there, start telling everybody that you're a real estate, that you're going into real estate. Start putting it out there. Now, when I got in, we had the internet, but we didn't have the internet like we do today. There was no communication, right? No Facebook, none of that stuff. So it was literally word of mouth for me. So I just started telling everybody, and my golden nugget, my claim to fame, my, oh my gosh, this business is unbelievable. This is going to work so well. Was that I was at, we had a trailer way back in the day. And I was at the trailer park, and we were sitting around the fire with one of our neighbors there. And they happened to also live in Hamilton, where I lived. And I said, yeah, I'm starting the real estate courses, and I'm in this rookie camp, and we're learning all that. And then we just started talking about it. And they're like, Kim, we want to sell our house. I was like, you do? I said, well, did you want me to help you? You know, like, I'm sure I can figure it all out. You'll be my very first clients. Like, this will be amazing. I'm going to have a lot of help with other people. If I don't know what to do, I'm going to get the help. I'll figure out everything. I would love it if you guys would give me a chance. Give me a chance. You know, that's what I learned at the beginning, was it's okay to ask somebody, give me a chance. You know, try me out. See how it goes. You know, I've got the support of my brokerage behind me. I'm going to do the best job possible for you because you're my only client, right? So the day I got my license, the next day I listed it. This, to me, was like all these realtors that are out there saying, oh, you know, that was lucky and da-da-da. No, it was because I put my name out there. I put me out there. I wasn't afraid to tell people what I do. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of becoming a realtor. That was just like, I was going to help people buy homes and sell homes and get people, get new memories started in their new homes. Like, home ownership to me is just such an amazing gift that anyone can give themselves and their family. And to know that I was going to be part of that journey with them, it was so exciting. And I've held on to that feeling for the entire 20 plus years I've been in this, that I am humbled to be chosen. Mm-hmm. I am blessed to be yours. You're blessed to be mine. And there is no one who's going to work better for you than me. And I believe that so much in my heart. And if you have that belief, you're going to do the best job possible for them. And things will work out. You're going to have problems. You're going to have deals that fall apart. So much to learn. It's going to happen. But honestly, if you have that love for this industry, that of like of what you're actually doing, if you really look at what this business is, it's not just about buying and selling people's homes and making a commission. That's the last thing that it is. It's relationships. It's building these relationships with people and making them really understand how important it is to us as the realtor to get them the house that they really want for the price that they really want in the location that they want and how important it is to find it so that referrals come our way. Because if they're not happy with us, referrals aren't going to come our way. So, and that's how I started building a referral business, was because I really cared about their family and their memories. And that changed everything. When you change your mindset about this business and you realize it's not real estate, it's relationships, you're golden. You're golden in this business.
That was honestly, I don't know if to say, that was a beautiful cameo. Like, that was awesome. I'm sold to honestly go out there and plant some more seeds right now. And I'm not even,
That was awesome.
I can tell why you have, you know, five people joining your brokerage in the next 6 months and why there'll be a lot more coming to you and to your exit brokerage. That was just amazing. Thank you for that. Before we head to wrapping up here, I actually was thinking about Rookie Camp. And since when I was hearing you do it, I thought about, have you ever considered of like takeaways? Like I'm very big on takeaways with like my customers and clients. I have a very little like a presentation folder, very nice, very easily laid out, tons of value, processes, marketing plans, whatever. And I was thinking, how could you make a takeaway for the Rookie Camp? And I actually keep a care package in my car for real estate. And I was thinking maybe that's something that could be blown up and as a takeaway on graduation day from Rookie Camp, like everything I possibly have. For me, I have a laser measure, $20 from Amazon. Just shoot on the wall. I keep rolled toilet paper in my car.
For the If only people understand how funny, but how important that is.
Yeah, like build this bag with me and imagine like we were able to give that bag like two bottles of water, a pack of granola, like protein bar, granola bars.
De-icer.
Yeah. I keep a change of clothes. I keep a change of clothes, bottom and top, just in case, extra pair of socks. Like I might be, because I might be out at, you know, whatever, grocery store, shopping, listing hits the market. Okay, hey, can I meet you there in 20? And I'm in sweats and a t-shirt. I got a change of clothes always.
Zip ties. Which one? And a zip ties in case your for sale signs fall down, or even better, you're going to love this, John. In case the house that you're showing, if that realtor's sign is falling off, you go in the back of your car and you get a zip tie and you fix that realtor sign so it looks good for that realtor. Mm-hmm. Your client is going to like,
So I was thinking about Rookie Camp and I was like, how can we make this just
that's
really
a great
big
idea. Yeah. Like a little goodbye package, because we have certificates that we give out. So they graduate in essence, right? Yeah. So they graduate, they've attended Rookie Camp. Yeah. And maybe even a rubber mallet, because those for sale signs come out of the ground. Sometimes you need that rubber mallet to get it back in the ground. I got mine in the car.
We can't give them a change of clothes, but we could give them like a big Ziploc bag. Change of clothes. Yeah. I'm thinking the care package might be the most, you know,
that might be a neat idea.
Send off Rookie Camp in a nice branded exit real estate, a realty strategy bag.
Yeah, I'll have to do that for the next one because my last one is tomorrow night. So there's not enough time to get all that together. but that would be an amazing idea to do. I think I might incorporate something like that.
I think we could do it under $50 a bag. 60 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Oh, yeah. Give it all to them. And hopefully, like, all the people, they're actually driving. I have one person that's driven 2 hours every Thursday to come to my office for this. They're not even going to join my office. And that's something that, like, I don't care where they are in life. You don't have to join my office. You don't have to give me a promise that you're going to join my office. Just come and learn so that you can be the best realtor in your area ever. I just want you to learn as much as possible. There's no offices doing this, Rookie Camp. Some of them will do like a quick 2 hour thing somewhere, but there's no one that's teaching them while they're in classes. I've got a mortgage broker in right now. He's not even in any of the classes, and he wants to, he's thinking about becoming a realtor. He came for the first time last week. So he missed the first one. And at the end of last week, he was like, I got to go. I got to get this. He goes, Kim, you're just so contagious. Like, you love it so much. I know I would love this. Yeah, but you got to love it for you. Don't love it because I love it. Right? Right. That's what I tell everybody. I love it because of who I am and what I believe this business is and what it can do for you. And as much money as I've made, as much money as you can make in this business, it's not about the money that you can make as much as it's about the lives that you can change with the money that you can make. You know, like, there's, when you start making dollars and dollars, and next thing you know, you can start giving away dollars and helping people and family that's struggling, anything, and you can start helping them.
Yeah, it's pretty rewarding.
There's nothing better. There's nothing better. It is the best thing in the world to be able to help your family.
Kim, thank you very much. That was on that note. That was very touching. But thank you very much for your time here. And on anybody who's watching and listening, obviously would like to reach a thank you out to you as well. So I really appreciate your time.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate you so much. This has been lovely. I loved it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, you too.